This morning, we're going to be focusing on being ambassadors of Christ. And I'm going to contend that as ambassadors of Christ, we can either be useful or we can be harmful. As Travis read in chapter 6, at the beginning of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, Paul demonstrated that he was a very useful ambassador for Christ, and an example that we should emulate. To start this morning, I want to establish what I mean by ambassador. So I pulled this definition of ambassador from the dictionary, and it says a person who acts as a representative or promoter of a specified activity. Of course, when we hear the term ambassador, we usually think of somebody who's been appointed by the president, approved by Congress to go out and represent our country in a foreign land, and basically represents our Constitution, represents our laws, and speaks on behalf of the leadership of our country. But here I want to talk about how that we are all representatives of Christ and his gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul talks about being ambassadors of Christ and basically being sent out on a mission of spreading the word of reconciliation, encouraging people to be reconciled to God. So, basically, yes, I know how to spell Christian. It just didn't transfer over, right? But when you think about it, whenever we put on the name of Christ, when we go out there and tell the world that we are a Christian, then we are representing Christ. The world sees us as representing Christ. So with that, as we are representing Christ and people see us as being Christians, we can either be useful to Christ and his kingdom, or we can do it harm by our actions and our behavior. And this morning, we will be talking about the differences between being a useful ambassador or a harmful ambassador. Because for better or worse, people are going to associate us and our actions with Christ and his church. So let me share a story of an incident that occurred back in September that serves as an example of how somebody can be, whether appointed or just an unofficial ambassador, how they can either be useful or harmful to the cause that they are representing. Up here on the slide is a picture of Yaroslav Hunka. Mr. Hunka is a Ukrainian-Canadian. Say that five times fast. He is a Ukrainian-Canadian, but he is also a war veteran. Mr. Hunka specifically fought for Ukraine in an attempt to gain his country's freedom from Russia's Soviet Union. And then after his military service, he moved to Canada. Recently, he has been advocating for support for Ukraine, because you probably know Ukraine is again at war with Russia and fighting against the aggression and oppression of Russia. So with Mr. Hunka being a Ukrainian-Canadian, being a war veteran, he's out there supporting the cause of Ukraine's fight against Russia. So he's sort of seen as an unofficial ambassador, somebody who is worthy to represent Ukraine's ongoing struggle against Russian aggression. So when Canada invited President Volodymyr Zelensky, who is the president of Ukraine, to come to their parliament, Somebody decided that it would be a good idea to invite Mr. Hunka to be there in the crowd. So during the assembly, Mr. Hunka was recognized for being a Ukrainian veteran. And during this time of recognition, the crowd stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Not once, but twice. So here's a picture of Mr. Hunka standing, and there's the crowd applauding him. You can see in the picture a couple military members. I assume they're members of the Canadian military applauding Mr. Hunka there. And then here's another picture of President Zelensky of Ukraine and Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada cheering on Mr. Hunka at this time as well. So, a moving, inspirational moment in the Canadian Parliament. Well, here is a picture of the Speaker of the Canadian House of Commons. His name is Anthony Rota. Anthony Rota is the one who invited Mr. Hunka that day, and he is the one who chose to recognize Mr. Hunka that day. But this picture of Mr. Rota looking concerned is appropriate because of what his actions were, he wound up resigning from his position 5 days later. For you see, by recognizing Mr. Hunka, Anthony Rota unwittingly chose a harmful representative for the cause. For you see, soon after the crowd gave a standing ovation to Mr. Hunka, there was public outcry across social media because of Mr. Hunka's war record. For you see, for Mr. Hunka, he fought in World War II, and for him to fight against Russia in World War II, he had to join the army that was fighting against Russia in World War II. And if you're not aware of who Russia's enemy was in World War II, it just so happened to be Nazi Germany. And not only did Mr. Hunka join the regular German infantry, he joined a unit of the Waffen-SS. If you're not familiar with the Waffen-SS, if you look back at the history of World War II and the atrocities committed by Germany, all the people they rounded up, imprisoned, murdered millions upon millions of Jews and Poles, it was the SS units that carried out the worst atrocities during that time. So, in fact, the unit, the SS unit that Mr. Hunka joined, is infamous for carrying out the slaughter of 500 innocent civilians in a Polish village. So, choosing Mr. Hunka as a representative of Ukraine's fight against Russia turned out to be a harmful choice. Not only did Mr. Rota decide to resign from his position because of it, but the Canadian Parliament withdrew their recognition, they apologized, and then people in Canada started calling for a re-examination of Ukrainian war veterans living in Canada to find out if they were possibly war criminals during World War II. But worst of all, Russia used this incident for their own propaganda. Because when Vladimir Putin decided to invade Ukraine, one of his reasons that he gave for wanting to invade Ukraine was because he wanted to denazify Ukraine. That was his excuse. He said that Nazism was rising up in Ukraine, and he wanted to end that. So, of course, he used this example of Mr. Hunka being recognized by the Canadian Parliament, with President Zelensky of Ukraine being present. Vladimir Putin was able to say, hey, look, see, I was right. They do support Nazis. So, with that, Russia jumped on it. They've since charged Mr. Hunka with committing war crimes, for potentially being involved in the genocide of Soviet citizens almost 80 years ago. So this turned out to be a very harmful incident for the cause of Ukraine gaining support in their fight against Russia. So a harmful representative or a harmful ambassador can cause a lot of damage. They can cause internal damage to the body and those who are part of the cause, and they can also cause damage externally because the enemies of that cause will utilize the poor representative as an example of why the cause is bad. So now I would like to apply this example to our role of being ambassadors for Christ. I want you to imagine for a moment a great king sitting on his throne. He has called two people to appear before him. The king is going to examine both of these people and choose one of them to go out and be his ambassador. He wants to send his ambassador out to go and tell people outside the kingdom that he or she represents the greatest king and kingdom that has ever existed. The king wants the message to go out that he is just, he is merciful, and above all, he is loving. So the king is going to examine these two people and their characteristics to find out which one is going to be a useful ambassador and which one would be a harmful ambassador if he sent them out. So let's examine the characteristics of both a harmful ambassador and a useful ambassador. This slide shows some characteristics of what a harmful ambassador would possess. We're going to start out with the characteristic of pride and arrogance. For as Proverbs 18 says, pride goes before destruction. Let's start by reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. This passage says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." So it goes without saying that God is wise. But God recognizes that if he has prideful ambassadors, they would not serve the purpose of his kingdom. For you think about it, if a king wants his representative to go out and tell people how the king has established the greatest kingdom one could live in, then why would he choose a representative who will go out and boast to people about his own accomplishments and telling people his life is great because of what he, the representative, has done rather than what the king has done? Or likewise, why would the king send out a representative who is arrogant enough to undermine the king's will and say that he can do things better and make decisions better than what the king does? So, pride and arrogance. It's the starting point for one being a harmful ambassador to Christ's kingdom. The second one that I wanted to touch on is hypocrisy. We will read from Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too, outwardly, appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So, in Matthew 23, it details a list of things that Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees, who were hypocritical representatives of God's kingdom at the time that Jesus was on this earth. There's several woes to you that Jesus states to the scribes and the Pharisees, but he talks about how that they are hypocrites, trying to push everybody around them to obey the laws of God, while they themselves may display it outwardly, but inwardly they are not following the law of God. They're inwardly full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. In verse 15 of that same chapter, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." So, how can somebody be a representative of a king telling people it is in their best interests to obey the will of that king if they themselves display that they do not follow or obey the will of the king? Third, I want to talk about being unloving as another example of a harmful ambassador. If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." So, if we are unloving, it doesn't matter what we do for God's kingdom, it is going to be useless. Now, if you don't remember anything else I say today, I'm now going to share something that I believe is the most important takeaway this morning. So, everybody knows that the United States has a constitution, right? The Constitution guides our land, guides the decisions of our leaders, guides our country's actions. When we elect a representative to go to Washington, D.C., that representative swears to uphold the Constitution. Well, the Constitution has a short paragraph, I think it's like 58 words, that is called the preamble to the Constitution. So the preamble to the Constitution is a short statement that explains the purpose of the Constitution. So everything in the Constitution should align with the purpose stated in the preamble. So if you go through and read the Constitution, what's written there, you can go back and read the preamble and see, yes, that fits with its purpose. It fits with the preamble. So if you turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. What is written in Mark 12 is like a preamble for the kingdom of God and his will. Mark 12, 28 through 34. "One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, 'What commandment is the foremost of all?' Jesus answered, 'The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' The scribe said to him, 'Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. So, with that, how can we represent a kingdom founded on the love of God, based on our love for God and loving others, if we ourselves do not demonstrate love? And then finally, the last characteristic I want to mention of a harmful ambassador is selfishness. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." I'm sure that if we think about it, it won't take any of us very long to think about several people who have claimed to be Christians over the years who have distorted the world's view of Christianity because of their greed and selfishness being on full display. I'm a child of the 80s, and I remember the Bakers and their downfall. And that's just sort of the image of televangelists based upon what the Bakers did. So greed of the representative can lead to harm within the body. For example, in Matthew 23, 16 through 19, again, this is another woe to that Jesus says to the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, "Woe to you blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated." So greed can lead one to betray the king he is supposed to represent. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." So you think about a representative going out. Let's say, for an example, a representative of the United States, he goes into a foreign land, an enemy's land. If he becomes greedy, then he can become a spy and he can betray his country. Likewise, if we are greedy, we are going to betray our king because we cannot serve both God and wealth. So, you can sort of equate a greedy Christian is to Christ what the Rosenbergs were to the United States. All right, so now let's talk about the characteristics of a useful ambassador. Of course, the characteristics of a useful ambassador are going to be the opposite of the characteristics of a harmful ambassador. So we start out by talking about a life of humility. As stated in Philippians 2, it talks about doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And then it goes on beyond that in Philippians chapter 2, and talking about Jesus and how he did not regard equality with God to be something to be grasped, but instead made himself a bondservant coming to this earth. So Philippians 2, verses 5 and 11 demonstrate the greatest example of humility that we can follow, which is Christ. And likewise, in Luke 22, 42, we find that Jesus, when he's in the garden, knowing that he is going to be arrested and crucified, he prays, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." So as a useful ambassador for Christ, we should always be saying, "Not my will, but your will be done, God. And I humble myself to you and to your will." The second characteristic of a useful ambassador is a life of integrity. As 1 Corinthians 1:12 states, Paul writes, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially towards you." So Paul outlines how he has been a representative of Christ with full integrity. For the sake of time, I won't read it, but if you turn to Psalm 15, that's only five verses in that psalm, and it talks completely about serving God and doing the will of God with integrity. And it is a great example of how we should show integrity. And then the third characteristic, of course, that we need to show is showing a life of love. I have written down there John 13, 34 through 40, 34 through 35. And it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So this ties back into Philippians 2, 3 through 4 that I read earlier. And also, if you think about the example of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, Christ outlines what it means to be a representative who demonstrates love to his neighbor. And then finally, instead of selfishness or greed, if we are going to be useful to Christ, we need to live a life of service. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So if Christ can come to this earth to be a servant, then so should we. We should happily accept a life of self-sacrifice. I have to go to what JFK said, you know, his quote, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Just replace the word country with Christ's kingdom. We should ask not what Christ's kingdom can do for us, but we should ask what we can do for Christ's kingdom. So just think about the damage that has been done by those who wore the name of Christ, having the attitude of wanting to be served rather than wanting to serve. So with that, when you think about some examples from the past of people who have been poor ambassadors, harmful ambassadors, you think about the damage that they have caused and how they have been harmful. Of course, one of the things that they create is a poor perception of the church. In 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8, Paul talks about how a little bit of leaven is able to leaven a whole loaf of bread. So if there's a little bit of evil in the church, and that is represented throughout the church and in the world, then that little bit of evil will cause the evil to spread. And then also, in Galatians 2, 11 through 14, Paul talks about how he had to reprimand Peter, because even Peter was given a poor perception of the church because of his hypocrisy. So you got to think about how that those who are the enemy of the church relish the opportunity to point out examples of immorality and hypocrisy amongst the members of the church, and then use that as an example for why they don't want to accept the truth of God. So the people of the world, the enemies of the church, who don't want to accept God's truth, are looking for those poor perceptions that we might display. And of course, beyond that, just a poor perception, harmful ambassadors also create a deadly situation for people that they interact with. In Galatians 1, 6 through 9, Paul talks about people being cursed if they are preaching a gospel that is a false gospel. In that passage, in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, when Paul is talking about letting those people be accursed, Thayer's definition for that Greek word that is translated accursed is a person or thing is doomed for destruction. Therefore, one who manages to spread a false gospel is bringing destruction upon themselves, but they're also potentially bringing destruction upon others. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4, it says, talks about how people follow the poor example, and by following that poor example, they follow that person to eternal death. And Jesus even warned in Matthew chapter 24 about how people claiming to represent him are going to come and lead others away from the truth. All right, so I know I'm going long here, but let me bear with me as we talk about how to prevent harmful ambassadorship. First of all, we of course need to study and apply the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 4:1-2, Paul writes, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." When you think about it, how can somebody go out and properly represent a kingdom if they cannot even communicate the will of the king? So we must be ready, we must study the word, and we must be ready to explain why we believe what we believe. Secondly, to prevent a false ambassadorship, we need to pray for guidance and wisdom. In James 1:5-8, James writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So we must pray for wisdom in all faith that God will give us the wisdom that we need. Just as stated in Colossians 4:5-6, it says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." And then finally, the way that we prevent false ambassadorship is by maintaining accountability within the church. I want to focus for a second on 1 Corinthians 5:9-13. It's important what Paul writes here. Of course, we hear people that don't understand the words say, "Well, how can you judge somebody else?" Well, here Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:9-13, "I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves." And if you recall, in the Corinthian church, they were letting a man remain a part of the assembly who was having an affair with his father's wife. And Paul wrote to them and reprimanded them, telling them, "You need to exclude this person." So church discipline is not something to be taken lightly, but it is not something to be neglected or ignored. As Paul wrote, we have an obligation to judge those who choose to wear the name of Christ. Of course, the goal of the church discipline is to get erring brothers and sisters to repent. But however, the church discipline also removes the damage of harmful ambassadors. There are times when we have to tell members of the church that right is right and wrong is wrong. You know the will of God, but you are blatantly choosing to rebel against his will. Therefore, we must remove you from the assembly. Your removal will ensure your rebellion against the truth does not grow like a cancer within the body, nor spread a deadly misrepresentation of Christ and his church outside in the world. So it is something that we must focus on and keep each other accountable to being true to God's word, to his will, and to be useful ambassadors for Christ. So to wrap up the message this morning, I ask that each of you examine yourselves. If we wear the name of Christ, then do we possess the characteristics of a useful ambassador or those of one who could be harmful? If you recognize you need to repent for how you are living your life and represent Christ, then now is a good opportunity for you to come forward before this family to confess your sins and repent. Or if you have not yet put on the name of Christ, but know that you are ready to do so, and you want to talk about that opportunity of being reconciled to God, then I invite you to come forward while we stand and sing.